Thank you and good morning. This morning I'll be talking with you about the King County Equity and Social Justice Initiative, which was launched in February of 2008, and I have no relationships to disclose. So what I'd like to do in this session is provide a brief overview of the comprehensive approach we're taking in King County to address determinants of health inequity, and identify some of the successes and challenges, to tell you a little bit about a few of the tools we've developed for the initiative, and then finally to discuss the factors that have contributed both to success and challenges. And one of the things about this initiative, it is a countywide initiative within King County government. And the idea behind it, when it was launched in 2008 under the leadership of then King County Executive Ron Sims, who's now the Deputy Director of HUD at the federal level, was really to look at the fact that even though in King County we do amazingly well on many of our indicators of not only health but other types of indicators, we have persistent inequities that actually often exceed those inequities in other places, other counties, other peer counties who do much worse than us overall. So we may have number one on infant mortality, but our infant mortality inequities by race equal those of Detroit. So there's these persistent inequities, and I think we've managed to gain attention and support from our senior leadership within the county to address these inequities. And this initiative was launched with the idea that we bring together all departments within the county. It's co-led by the Executive's Office and Public Health, and it includes an interdepartmental team that has representatives from all King County departments. So what we've done in our work is really to focus on three major areas, just to kind of get a handle on the immensity of this effort of trying to make equity central to our work and to really focus on root causes of inequities and also be looking at how to impact those in ways that address both community conditions and the more upstream institutional racism and structural racism issues. So in that context, we focus on these delivery of services, which has included in a very simple way just asking every department to make commitments annually to efforts they are undertaking to address inequities from their particular line of business, be it the Department of Transportation, the Building Department, the Housing Department, and so on, and then to actually measure how they're doing with the idea that we actually get some performance measurement that helps us figure out if we're on the path to really changing outcomes related to inequities. We also have a focus on policy and decision making, and that's probably where we spent a lot of attention. We've tried to develop some tools in terms of decision making, and I'll show you a little bit about that in a minute. And then finally, to look at community partnerships. We felt fortunate that the Unnatural Causes series came out right around the time that we launched this initiative. We used that tremendously in gaining attention and actually starting even little 10-minute clips as we went out to talk to different parts of county government as well as community partners about the significance of these conditions that influence health, and also to look at the significance of discrimination in this work. The progress we've made since the launch basically is to actually get these concrete commitments that are annually made by departments, and to show some evidence of true progress in terms of what people committed to do. Then we've also had, among those commitments, our Executive Services Department committed to provide some training around equity and social justice awareness for all supervisors and managers, and we've had over 90% of all King County Department supervisors and managers actually receive this training that was done through their department leadership. And if you can imagine this amazingly, this is not just public health departments, but all other departments. The first hour of that was for each of them to view the In Sickness and In Wealth video from Unnatural Causes. So it was really, again, that attempt to draw the connections between these conditions that influence health and well-being. We've had principles of equity and social justice that were embraced by our new King County Executive, Dow Constantine, and his senior leadership. We actually did briefings early on as Executive Constantine came into office, and he very quickly grasped the significance of this work and has been very supportive in terms of his senior executive office staff being part of the work. He issued an executive order, as an example, that established a countywide translation policy. We also have importantly incorporated equity language throughout the King County strategic plan that was recently adopted by our King County Council. And this is an effort that cross-cuts all parts of the county government. Now, the progress we've made, I think that was probably the most significant and really exciting. On October 11th, the King County Council unanimously passed an equity and social justice ordinance. What this ordinance does is actually establishes definitions and identifies approaches in realizing what was built into the countywide strategic plan, which is a fair and just as one of our guiding principles for this plan. So what this ordinance does is it expands the interdepartmental team to now be an interbranch team, that includes all parts of King County government. It brings in the courts, the prosecuting attorney's office, and the sheriff's office. It also requires annual measurement of our progress and a report to the King County Council. So it really codifies the work that was started in 2008 in a way that it will live on in law to be continued regardless of who's in leadership, whether they're supportive or not. So let me just go over a bit about some of these definitions quickly. You've seen these before, but we thought it was important in the ordinance to be clear what this language means. So by equity, we mean all people have full and equal access to opportunities that enable them to reach their full potential. And again, you won't see Health Central in this language because it's across all departments of the government. We identify inequity as differences that are systematic, patterned, unfair, and our definition there is listed, these differences in well-being that disadvantage one individual or group over another. These differences are systematic, patterned, unfair, and can be changed. So that's an important part of that, so that this is overwhelming and very aspirational to change these outcomes, and yet we want to make it clear that these are patterned and are not random, and therefore it does suggest there are things that we can do to create change that eliminates these inequities. So what are these influences on equity? I don't think this is news to this audience, but it's social factors, economic factors, environmental factors. We call them determinants of equity. I say health and equity here for this audience, but in our discussions with this interagency team, we talk about determinants of equity. Again, if we use health too quickly, people think then the solutions lie within public health, and right, we don't have the levers to address transportation policy, to address building policy, to address a lot of the built environment policy. These are the now 14 determinants of equity. We started out with 13, and in getting this ordinance passed, one of our council members who is a major sponsor felt because, actually, this is a very sad statistic, 72% of our King County general fund is in the area of law and justice. And therefore, we added a 14th determinant of equity that is equitable law and justice system. We thought community and public safety and equity in our organizational practices, which is really at those institutional practices, got at that, but we very much conceded that it was important to call that out. So a couple quick examples of tools. So we have an equity impact review tool. It's a systematic way to gather information to inform planning and decision making. It's really an HIA light. It's something that any county can apply without having the knowledge of epidemiology and public health assessment information to do. But what the tool does is it has a three-stage process. The first stage is basically screening on effects of the proposed policy or program on determinants of equity. And we basically say, if you aren't addressing one of those 14 conditions, this tool really isn't appropriate to apply because you won't really be addressing inequities. Then secondly, it looks at who is impacted by the inequities, and depending on whether it's a countywide or a geographically specific program or policy, gets at a set of questions that ask people to look at data. We've created a number of maps that are available to use that show distribution of languages spoken, that show distribution of low-income people, that have some information about data on inequities to help inform doing this assessment. And then finally, a process of prioritizing actions based on whether there's a positive influence on inequities, or if negative, mitigate or ideally don't proceed with the policy. So basically, it's about really the differential impacts. Within our work, we've really called attention to inequities by race, by income, and by language spoken. A second tool, the translation policy, I alluded to this. This has now become an executive order, but it basically creates a concerted effort to develop translated materials. It requires translations in Spanish for key communication, because Spanish is the second highest language spoken in our county, but it basically also provides tools and a manual and a lot of work to assure quality assurance with translation. With community engagement, we initially used the unnatural causes. That was more awareness building and really drawing attention to these root issues and these conditions as opposed to downstream services. But we're also looking at creating a tool. This is just a very early version. This is going to be a web-based community engagement guide that helps King County departments in how they deal with community engagement and whether they're at the issue of one-way communication all the way across to community directing and we providing help, that we're providing tools for people to do this in a transparent way, in a way that really engages communities with a clear, not the idea that we go out to get your opinion, but we've made the decision, but being very clear what level of engagement we're doing here. And we expect to have this tool available within the next few months. So what are some of the key challenges and successes? I think one of the important parts that we've experienced over the 2 years since the initiative was launched, and it's really now been integrated into the way we do our work with this ordinance, is it's been very important to have political will at the top. That means the executive, the elected leaders, the department directors, and it also is important to diffuse this into the DNA of all county workers, hence the training for supervisors and managers who set the tone for their workplaces. We felt the executive orders and the public health department co-facilitating with the executive office has really helped to both have the clout of the executive's office along with the knowledge about these issues and the assessment and the data part of it that comes from public health. Some important framing things. We've really looked at not health equity, but equity. And I believe in many cases, if we really want to mobilize for change, we've got to get it past a focus on health outcomes and health equity to equity across the board that really is focusing on these conditions that public health has a very valuable role to play. But again, we often lack the levers to control these outcomes, and we really need to bring in cross-agency work at the local level, as we've just been trying to do. I think that's critical at the state level. It's critical at the national level. And I think we've increasingly felt we need to get our own house in order, but then we also need to move on to create the significant partnerships in community, because while we could have wonderful public policies, it's not sufficient to make change. And then finally, I think the return on investment for more efficient and better government by doing this work, this isn't just the right thing to do, it's the economically more advisable thing to do. And finally, to integrate it into the way we do our work. Thank you.
Thank you to our presenters. We have a few minutes for questions, but before we take questions, I would like to say that on behalf of the Public Health Education and Health Promotion Section, we want to acknowledge the presenters' excellent projects. As our section received over 700 proposals and were only able to select less than half of them. So these are really the best of the best. We have a few minutes for questions. She wants to know about the policy on institutional racism.
It's a great question. So New Mexico, like the rest of the nation, has problems with our budget at the moment. And as a public servant, I know full well, I mean, I used to get calls from the governor's office, kill that bill if it's going to take any kind of money. Our policy is going to be an introduction that will require, this is what we're hoping, all public employees, and this is the courts, the schools, all public agencies, to have a policy to address institutional racism. Now, we are writing the policy for them. So this is going to be introduced at the state level during our 2011 legislative session. We're also introducing, so that's a bill, and if the bill doesn't pass, we're also going to introduce a memorial. So we have several ways to address this. And we're promoting an anti-racism day in the state. We're also introducing a policy at the city level and at the county level that can be replicated in the rest of our counties. Sure.
Thank you.
I think it's really important for us, when especially talking about my project, the one that I work on in terms of CARES, is the lesson that we learn is that when you start putting underserved communities and you start working with white people, as you so politely called it, and you start working with them over a period of time. So for us, it was consistent presence, making sure you're there, building trust, exchanging that information, and knowing your boundaries. And so for us, when we invited faculty members, they knew that they were specialized, let's say, in either epidemiology or quantitative methods or qualitative methods, but they were still active listeners. And so when entering a community, whether you are white, whether you're male, whether you're female, it's really to be non-judgmental, to be open to the experiences of the underserved communities, and to not view them just by color, to look at them as people who have these vast experiences that you now are going to share together. So I think for us, what has worked is that we created a shared experience. This is our community. If we work together, we can achieve social justice together. And if we don't experience it, then you're not going to experience it. And so for us, those were some of the lessons learned, and to have sort of that cross agency communication that we talk about, so that they know that one person doesn't represent the whole. So the same way you don't represent all white women, I don't represent all black women, and my Native American brothers and sisters don't represent the whole reservation. And so if we build on that premise, then we can work together to change policies.
Someone else, sir? Well, for starters, in the ordinance, there's a requirement for an annual report on progress, and to, because it's tied to the King County's countywide strategic plan, there also are some performance measurements that are being developed in that context. We're right now in the course of having conversations to assure that we have both some community indicators as well as some performance measures that directly measure and focus on progress with respect to the equity pieces in both the ordinance has what are called, they're more or less process goals as well as content goals, and in both areas. I would say one of the things that is a struggle in that context is we've done a baseline measurement across the 14 determinants of equity for how we're doing with some baseline measurements. They're not all perfect measures, but we, such as they are, and while they're, it's great to have that information, it's fairly, eliminating the proportion of people paying more than 30% of their income on housing, for example, is a long-term outcome goal. What we're really trying to do is try and have more proximal measures that are showing evidence that we're on the track toward achieving that long-term goal. But the measurement is very built in, and I think the reg annual report out is another way to assure some accountability.
As a consequence, we're trying to get support from the community to boost that political will. But whether or not, I don't know if King, I know you had a very dynamic executive director in my mouth, but in the case for counties that don't have that political will at the top, what your recommendations might be, or whether you went to the community to try and raise that?
I'd say twofold. I think it is challenging, and it isn't as though this was necessarily, we have, when we were before our council committee, we had several serious critics who asked about 11 questions we had to respond to, and really were taking us to task on liability exposure if we had this kind of thing on the books and so on. But I would say two things come to mind is important to keep in mind. One, the way these issues get framed. I mean, we have fairness and opportunity for all. That's a message most people can agree with. And I think sometimes getting the message out there in a way that identifies things that aren't right, that frames it, using some of the best of what we know about how to frame issues in a way that engage people, that pay attention to how they might view issues, but then to try and be persuasive in showing, for example, in our county, we have a situation where kids in South King County are more than have are less likely, kids in East King County are twice as likely to complete high school as students in South King County. And that's not right. And I think we need to start drawing attention to that, using that kind of language about things that aren't right. Maybe we won't use social justice as the argument because it won't play well, but usually pointing out those kind of differences, most people can agree, aren't right. So I think we need to pay attention to framing a lot in the way we do this work and keep focusing on the frames that we use. The second thing I think is to really find allies that from within the community, powerful voices within the community, and then within both the community and the approaching the public sector elected officials to really move it beyond being the right thing to do to being the economical advisable thing to do, that it is a superior growth model. Angela Glover Blackwell, I think, says this well, that addressing equity is the superior growth model. And if we aren't aware of the future of the 5-year-old Latina girl who needs to have a good education to do well in life, and that ultimately feeds back into our economy, these are the kind of arguments that I think can reach broader audiences.
Thank you. We have time for one last question. Can you speak a bit louder?
So a question for Dr. Machanda, actually. About at one point in your presentation, you also referred to how there's been
That's actually the heart of the conference that we're having on December 10th, really thinking about how to apply the tools across the spectrum, not just in health, but other indicators of success, and inviting, actually using that as a mechanism for educating members in the community and actually generating some ideas. So the short answer is we are right now using measurements that are within our own silos still. But we're sharing them. So in healthcare, for instance, you know, we're looking at the chronic disease indicators or whatnot. Those are, as Dr. Siski said, these are long-term outcomes. The challenge, I think, is finding those proximal indicators. And what we've been most interested in doing, and I think we're going to be exploring together at that conference on December 10th, is the ideas of human capabilities, social capital, social cohesion, self-efficacy, civic efficacy, you know, these other measures that are probably intermediate or mediating factors and pathways to get to those long-term outcomes, and I think will help to demonstrate the fact that we're on that track, as you were saying earlier. And I want to underscore how important it is for us to really apply and how much we need to learn from each other about how to find and refine those proximal tools, because if we don't, it becomes hard to speak to colleagues, let alone those who are, come from a different frame and are going to and challenge this idea of equity for various reasons. If we can't demonstrate it, even in the short term, it becomes difficult to build the consensus, the political will to get the long-term outcomes. That was a very long answer. Right now, we're working on it.
Thank you very much. This is truly what public health is all about. To me, it's been an honor to have been moderating this panel. These presentations are really what this is all about. I want to thank in the name of the Public Health Education and Health Promotion Section, our distinguished presenters with these very interesting and significant presentations of work in public health directed to promote human rights and social justice. They have spoken of partnerships with communities to support them in finding their own power, to help them promote health for all and overcome the social determinants of health that so unjustly affect us all. And I leave you with the words of the great Nelson Mandela: our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. I thank you, and please visit our exhibition. Thank you very much.